Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. Well, Mark, it's good to have you back. Enjoyed the last talk we had about how you started your business and that small-time leader who stepped in to give you some sage advice. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you again for inviting me.
Well, it's good to have you. I was hoping the rain would go away today. So, man, this has been crazy, hasn't it? So before you tell me about the next person in your life that made a difference, I always ask you, what are you grateful for today, thankful for, you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate you asking me that. As I thought about that question, the thing that I'm thankful for is Brianna Dudley, who works with me. 5 years ago, she was a mom that was divorced, had two small children, and decided to go back to school. She went back and got a degree and ended up getting remarried to her husband and started doing consulting with us. And 3 years later, her practice is just thriving. And that's just an answer to prayer for her. And a blessing for me.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. It's good that you were able to be there to help her through that transition a bit, do a little part. So, Mark, who's that other person in your life of all the hundreds of people that have helped you that come to mind as your next small-time leader?
The person for me is a gentleman who's deceased now, but his name was Father John Cuddy. And I would call my meeting with him is just 1 in 1,000 chances. And here's why I say that is that I grew up in Macon, Georgia. We were cradle Catholics. The joke my brother and I always had is that the lights were on in the church. We were there. We were going to weekly mass, Sunday school, regular confession, which is a joy of any child, having to go talk to the priest about your sins. But then about the eighth grade, we started skipping church, and before long, we weren't going to church at all, and I'm embarrassed to say that I was delighted because I didn't really have any kind of relationship with the Lord, and so I was glad that I could sleep in on Sundays.
Yeah.
And my 1 in 1,000 chances was I was washing my car with two of my buddies at our house on a Tuesday afternoon, and all of a sudden, we heard a car drive up in the front yard. And we looked, and it was a priest getting out of a Volkswagen. And I thought, why is a priest coming to our house? And today I would think that something had happened in some, with one of my family members. But I was so far from my faith, I didn't think anything. So we straightened up, as you can imagine. And he came in and said that he had seen my picture in the newspaper and for something that was sports related, and looked me up and saw that we were Catholic. And Mike, I have to tell you, I was surprised that we were still on the roll because we hadn't been in what probably was 3 years at that point. So,
yeah. And one of the toughest things in the world is to get off a church roll, isn't it?
Well said. So he invited me to a Bible study, of which I really wasn't interested in going. And then he called me the night before and said, hey, it's a reminder, it's tomorrow night. And for some reason, and of course, I know it's the Holy Spirit, but for some reason, I went, even though I really wasn't interested in growing in my faith. What happened then as a junior and a senior is, I would say, there was a seed of interest in my faith, and he fertilized that, and he watered that. Mm-hmm. And by the time that I graduated from high school, I considered going into the priesthood as one of my options. Who knows what would have happened if I hadn't been there? Would he have followed up again? If he had just called me on the phone, more than likely, I would have said, no, thank you.
Yeah. So what kind of things did he do to help you grow? You said over those few years when you were still in high school, what do you recall about that?
You know, I think just like anybody, he had an excitement about his faith. And as he talked about the Lord and Jesus and having a personal relationship with him, I caught that fire. And then he had me do readings at the church service. So I was now in a leadership role, and that was something that appealed to me, to be speaking in front of the congregation, oddly enough. And we just spent lots of time together, and it was his excitement for the Lord that got me going.
And you said you considered the priesthood?
I did. When I graduated from high school, one of the things that I thought about was becoming a priest. Yeah. That's how much he had affected me. In a positive way. The other thing was he would always come to our different sports things. So he showed a personal interest in us.
Yeah. So how does that play out for you in your life now as a father and consultant?
In a major way. Professionally, I think one of the things that you know that we developed is our work-life balance wheel, and we call it the 7 F's. And in the 7 F's, one of the F's that we talk about is faith.
Yeah.
And so to me, I believe my work is still a part of the ministry, because when I meet with someone, we not only talk about their business goals, but we talk about the other F's that they have in their life. One of them being family. Where are they from a fitness standpoint? Mm-hmm. What are they doing from a financial standpoint? Are they having fun in their life? You know.
Yeah. Sure.
So that scratches that ministry itch that I have. So it has continued. And I think that's what I gravitated to as a consultant, is we can make our practice whatever we want it to be. And I wanted it to be from the whole life standpoint.
Sure. Yeah. And your model has changed a lot of people's lives. I've always admired that simple approach to helping people look at their whole life with the 7 F's that you've done. Yeah, it's interesting. I was in the ministry. And so I remember when I left, after a while, I finally decided that I would make minister a verb instead of a noun. And I think that's what I hear you saying here, that, you know, we all can live our faith or put our faith in our pocket when we leave the church. So thanks so much for sharing that. So do you have any grandchildren?
Well, you and I are the same age, but I have young children. I married late in life, and so I have a junior at Auburn, a junior in high school, and a freshman at high school. So I get people that say to me when they see me with my children, "I bet you're a proud granddad, aren't you?" And I tell them, "I'm even a prouder dad." So that's one of the joys of being an older dad, I also think, is that you're more settled in what's important. And I'm able to focus more on my children as an older dad.
Yeah. So from your experience with Father John and your experience in your business, and what would you share with the listeners as something they might want to think about from our talk today?
Yeah. I think it goes back to what I learned in my own life. Early in my work career, I believed it was God on Sunday and by God, watch out on Monday. And as terrible as that sounds, that's how I felt, in that the rules of engagement on Sunday were different than the rules of engagement on Monday through Friday. And what I would tell everyone is, if your faith is important to me, people should see that every day. And in my own life, they weren't seeing that every day early in my career. And I believe I was a fraud if I was compartmentalizing my life and only believing that my godly mark was different than my work mark. And I think that we've all heard that famous saying, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. It's more about our actions than it is our words. And that's what I've learned in my own life. And that's what I would challenge and encourage anybody else, no matter what their faith is.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for sharing your story and that word of encouragement. And I know there are some listeners out there who'd probably love to talk with you, and when they've heard about your business and your model and where you stand with your faith. So would you share with the listeners how they could get in touch with you if they'd like to speak or a retreat or get a coach or something?
Probably the couple of things. If you're interested in learning more about us online, go to corsini.com, and that's corsini.com. You can reach me at coach, like a football coach, at corsini.com, or give me a call. My phone number is 205-222-4622.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. All of that information will be in the show notes for our listeners. And thanks so much for being on my Small Time Leader podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark. You too.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.